Thank you very much, Alan. So I want to start this evening by doing a quick update of the situation in relation to GM crops and farming, and then to discuss the issue we're really here tonight to talk about, which is patents and patents applied to intellectual property rights in relation to living organisms. What I think is certainly true for us farmers is that we are now living in very interesting times. Not just the turmoil in the financial markets that we're struggling with at the moment, but if you remember last year, we were facing turmoil in the commodity markets. We saw the price of wheat rise from £80 a tonne to £160, £170 a tonne, and then crash right back down again, so we're back near the £80 a tonne mark now. I think it's worth having a look at how this rollercoaster effect came about. It seems to me there were three main issues that fed into this. Firstly, there was a growing shortage of grain throughout the world. Governments have consistently failed to recognise that they needed a buffer of grain to ensure carryover for the following year. We had ministers effectively saying that we could wander off as a wealthy nation, pushing our shopping trolley in front of us, fill it up in the rest of the world, and then bring it back to feed the 60 million people who live here. And suddenly it began to dawn on them that they might wander off in a shopping trolley, but they're going to come back with it half full, and there certainly weren't any bog-off offers out there to be had. The second series of reports that came out that had an implication on this was reports on population, and speculative population looking 30, 40 years ahead. And people were saying that we could see our population in the world increase by about 50% in the next 20 or 30 years. How accurate that is, we'll only know in 20 or 30 years' time. Whether those people were actually putting out these rather speculative figures to suit their own means is debatable. Certainly there are to think about increased population meets the demands of some corporate entities in this world. But whatever that coupled with the shortage of food began to raise major issues. And then George Bush waded in with heavy subsidies for ethanol production from maize. And the USA started with about 3 years ago 40 million tonnes of maize going into ethanol production, and suddenly they were taking 80 million tonnes last year. This year they're forecast to have capacity for about 120 million tonnes of maize. That then created fertile ground for speculators. They moved in and the price roared up. And now the speculators have moved out and the price has gone, wham, straight down. And actually, in the last year, we have seen a huge increase, really, about 40 million tonnes increase in the world production of grains. Well, what wasn't, so the follow-on to this demand was that we've got to feed the world. This panic sort of set in amongst politicians and others, this desperate need to increase the amount of food that this planet produces. And everybody, every snake oil salesman out there jumped on the bandwagon, and along with it, the biotech companies and their proponents, and they were pushing GM as the answer for feeding the world into the future. Well, it wasn't quite so well published at the time, two other reports. One of them looked at the availability of arable land in the rest of the world. And a country like Brazil, which is a superpower in terms of agricultural production now,
still has a further...
still has a further 19 million hectares of land available. And that's going without going into the rainforest. Yes, there would be an environmental impact.
I give up. Yes, there would be an environmental impact.
Is it me?
That's special. That's special.
Yes, there would be an environmental impact if Brazil used that 90 million hectares. But they would then, if that land is available for land for production now, it's actually in between what they're already farming without necessarily breaking into land that hasn't already been cleared for cultivation. And there was another paper that came out looking at the availability of land in Central and sub-Saharan Africa. And that identified 239 million hectares of land as being available for biofuel production in sub-Saharan Africa. And for someone like myself, who I was 19 when those pictures appeared of the starving children in Ethiopia, and Bob Geldof came on my TV screen and we had Band-Aid, that was a very instrumental moment in my life. It was very influential on me as an individual. And the idea that we've still got that part of the world with chronic food problems, food shortages, and yet we've got 239 million hectares of land available. It seems to me that